Please be seated. So this is a pretty short scripture, but I think it's particularly fascinating. Somebody's watch alarm going off. There we go. You got it? Can you turn it off? Helpful. So, thanks, man. So, this particular, this scripture is short, but there are about a million things going on in it, and I could spend the next 15 minutes talking about the historical context of the scripture. I think it's fascinating. I think there's a lot of things wrong with the translation that we read, and I think there's a ton of stuff going on. But it's a three-year cycle, so maybe in 3 years I'll come back to it and just preach a historical context sermon, but I'm not going to do that right now. But I just wanted to say it's fascinating. If you ever want to have a conversation about the scripture, there are books written about these like seven sentences. And there's been arguments in seminaries and by people much smarter than me for generations about what it means and what's going on here. And it's just, if you're a nerd like me, it's fascinating. But anyway, there's one part of the scripture that I think is particularly important just to focus on. At least it's what I wanted to focus on this week. And it's the part where Jesus says, "Give therefore to the emperor and the thing that are the emperor's. And to God, give the things that are God's." So just a tiny bit of context here. So the coins that he's talking about, the denarius that he's talking about, were stamped with a picture of the emperor, Caesar, whomever you wanted to call him. And underneath it, it said, the inscription on it said, "Caesar is God," basically. Like, Caesar is divine, Caesar is our God. And so looking at the denarius, I mean, as big as it was, it had a picture of the emperor on it, and it said that he was God. And so that's what Caesar made those. They were the people who printed the money. So when Jesus looked at it, yes, of course, Caesar's image was on it. That's who it was. That's who it belonged to. And what Jesus is saying is, give to God what is God's. It's, I think, a very simple statement, but it's particularly profound. Because what I think that means is that all of us, every single one of us, we're stamped with the divine spark. Like, we are made in God's image. And it's not just us, because what is God's? Well, everything. Everything else. Everything God made, everything God put together. And God made the sun and the moon and the stars and the creepy crawly things in the ocean and on the land. Because when Jesus said this quote, when Jesus said, "Give to God what is God's," he's directly quoting from Genesis. The language that he used is the language used in Genesis when it says, and in the we all know the creation myth, right? The first two chapters of Genesis, where there's two separate creation myths. Like, we all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Right? And so that's what Jesus is quoting. He's literally using the words that were written in Genesis. And so the Pharisees that were listening to him talk would have known that what Jesus was talking about was the scripture where it says in Genesis, "Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, they were created, male and female, God created them." So when Jesus says this to the gathered Pharisees, to give to God what is God's and what is made in God's image, they would have known exactly what Jesus was implying. They would have known that Jesus is reminding them that they are, in fact, all of us, everything on the planet is stamped with the divine spark. All of us are God's. No matter who we are, no matter where we came from, what we've done, we are God's. We look like God. God has made us in God's image. And I think it's important to pause on that for a second and let that actually sink in. That you, every single one of you, we are made in the image and likeness of God. No matter what we look like, no matter how our bodies or our brains or whatever works, and we all look pretty different, right? You would agree that we all look different, right? We all act different. We all have different personalities. We are different colors. We are different ages. But every single person in this room and out there, but particularly I'm talking to you in this room, you are made in the image of God. You are what God looks like. When you look in the mirror, you can look and see that you are made in God's image. And because we bear God's likeness, because we are made by God, God is asking us to act like God. Not, mind you, like gods, those who lord their authority over others for self-gain. We're not supposed to act like conceited, self-centered gods, but rather like our God. We are to act like the one who creates, the God who sustains, the God who nurtures, the God who redeems, the God who seeks justice, the God who saves. And we are to act like God no matter what the cost. Because we are called, because we are God, to act as God's co-workers. We are to act as God's colleagues. We are to act as God's partners here on earth, exercising dominion and care over creation, not as an act of power, but rather as an act of stewardship. We are called to be stewards of what all that God has created, because God created us and all that we see outside. Our job, because we are made in the image of God, is to act like God and care for what God has created. And we are asked to extend all the abundant life that God wants on earth. God wants us to create. God wants us to sustain. God wants us to nurture. And as Paul says in Thessalonians that we read today, "For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that God has chosen you to do this work." It's not somebody else. It's not on us or incumbent upon us to search for someone else or point to somebody else to do this work or just to sit around and wait. God has chosen you to become imitators of the Lord so that you can become an example to every believer and every non-believer. So that you can become an example to all creation. So that you can remind people that you serve a living God and a true God. Because God is living, because God lives in all of us and lives in everything we see around us. Because if you notice that despite the fact that Jesus' opponents carry a coin with a graven image and a confession of Caesar's divinity, Jesus doesn't say that they're committing blasphemy or disloyalty to God. He doesn't say that. What Jesus does call them is he calls them hypocrites. Those who have quite literally taken to wearing another and false witness to another God. So perhaps the charge against us who try to entrap or discount Jesus then or now is best to understand it as amnesia. Because we have forgotten who and whose we are. We have forgotten whose image is stamped upon us and all of creation. We have forgotten in whose likeness we are made. So the opportunity before us is to remember who we are, to call back to our primary identities as God's children and as God's stewards here on earth, as those made in the likeness of God, and those charged to act like God. Because how we define ourselves and how we remember whose we are is important. Because all of us have made covenants in our life. All of us have made promises to one thing or another. I have made several. I'm married, so I've made a promise to my spouse. I have kids. I've made promises to my kids. I consider myself an environmentalist, so I've made promises to care for creation. And I'm a priest, so I've made a bunch of promises to y'all and to the bishop and to the Episcopal Church. But none of those matter. They're all superseded by the very first covenant I ever made when I was baptized as an infant. And they're all superseded by the very fact that I call myself a Christian. My first covenant is to remember that I am stamped with the image of God, that I am to act as God in the world no matter the cost. Because for all of us, we should not forget that we are God's. Because oftentimes we walk around with amnesia, forgetting whose and who we are. That our first job is to seek justice. Our first job is to love God and love other people. Our first covenant that all of us made when we got up in the morning wasn't to our spouse. It wasn't to the thing that we love the most on this earth. Our first promise is to God. And that is our work every day, to remember that we are Christians, to remember that we are called to love other people, that we are called to love ourselves. That is our work. That is what the scripture is saying to us, to remember that each one of us is stamped with the image of the divine. Amen.